Ah, good, good, good. Wow, it's been some kind of a week here, I'll tell you. How's things been going? Is there some moon in retrograde or something?
I think the moon is going to hit the Earth next week.
That'll do it. Wow. I was going to say, I was just about to tell Veronica, I had one of the most difficult mornings of my life this morning. I mean, really difficult. I'm staying at my daughter's, and she has four dogs. And they all, she left early this morning for her class. And every morning the dog chases her down the driveway. This morning it didn't. So I went out to check on the dog, and she was not well. I could see my grandson came out there with me, and he went to pet her, and she scooted away, but she couldn't walk. And I kind of knew what happened. So she must have gone, after my daughter left, she must have gone back out, and she had been hit by a car. And so I sent the kids off to school on the bus, told them I didn't say anything about it. But it turned out one of the other dogs began attacking her because she was going into seizures. And I had to get the other dog to stop. And in that process, I realized the dogs knew what was going on, and I hadn't quite grasped the situation yet. I had looked it up on the internet. When a dog gets sick, you know, or an animal gets sick, the other animals attack it because they're not sure if they want to get it out of pain or if it's the survival of the fittest or the preservation of the highest and best. Nobody really, of course, knows for sure, but they know. So we're way out in the country, and the vets, well, you have to go in the house and look at the mirror. So this morning I had to transition the dog. And that was probably the hardest thing I've ever done. And unfortunately, I think she had to suffer for another 20 minutes before I could get myself to that point. But it was very difficult, and I thought, wow, even with a Mercy transition here, because she was really in pain, and she would spasm so harshly, and she would just whimper, and so I thought, no, we have to end this. And I prayed a lot and came up with the method and had to do that. So even in, as it was a mercy, I had the most difficult time doing that. It's seeing that on a movie or seeing that in a show or watching somebody talk about it is way different than what had just happened here today. And it sidetracked me for a good portion of the morning. I don't know. Yeah. So I don't know if anybody's had some experiences like that. And well, I was in California, and a similar thing happened to a dog there, except they had the vet come and they euthanized her with a needle. And we all were there and saw the last breath, you know, and then we went out and did a ceremony, just as I did with this dog. But it's that last breath and realizing the importance of how vital it is to know who we are, stop mucking around with our bodies, with our brains, and just begin to allow things to flow and enjoy life. We make things, I was listening to Tony Robbins the other day, and he said the female energy takes something very small and makes it very large. The male energy takes something very large and pretends it didn't happen. Either way, it's an avoidance of a truth, yeah? Because making it bigger than it is, that's where we get the words drama queen or drama king, you know? And pretending it's not there, well, denial isn't just a river in Egypt. So we really want to just simply be in the moment and really take notice of what it is that's actually happening and the overall scheme of things. That makes sense. this is why I've spent so much time on, and I really emphasized. Now, when I learned the centering technique, it was the last thing taught. And I've decided to put it as the first thing, because this, to me, is the cornerstone of all interaction at a level that speaks to some truth. And when we speak to that truth, we allow ourselves to become focused. We allow the inner voice to speak, to guide us what to do. And then we can choose to act upon it. So let's take a moment. Is everybody still with me? Because it's awfully quiet out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Processing home information.
Okay, and we'll have a chance to do that right now because we'll do a short centering. And Maury has joined us. And Maury, we have Veronica and Veronica. Okay.
Veronica squared.
Yeah.
Hi,
Yeah, say hello. I used to have a tile man that worked for him. His name was Pete, and his son was named Pete. We used to call him Pete and Repeat. All right. So I just wanted to put a smile on your face after that story. And although we will let that story kindle something, and then I would like you all to share after this centering. So just take a nice deep breath now. And know that each and every time that I center myself, I am more centered than ever before. That the vitality of my very being and the vibration of my very being is raised each and every time I center myself. To begin, I visualize the color red. A beautiful natural red color fills my vision. Like a red rose, a natural red vibration. Red is the color of the outer physical body. I relax my body. I just let go. Relax. Relax. I relax my body from head to toe. In my mind's eye, having practiced centering so many times, in an instant, I begin at the top of my head, coursing through my body, through my eyes, my chin, my neck, my shoulders, my chest, my torso, the sexual organs, my thighs, my knees, my calves, even my shins, all the way down to my toes. Why my entire body is in a complete state of relaxation. This feels so good to do. Whenever I wish to relax my body instantly and completely, I simply visualize this most brilliant and beautiful red vibration, and my body becomes instantly at ease, allowing all of the organs of my body to flow and function freely. Moving ever inward now, I next visualize the color orange. Orange, like a beautiful orange itself. Orange is the color of emotions. I release and let go all my emotions right in this moment. I release and let go all emotional attachments to all people, to all places, and to all things. For I truly desire to be in this moment now. By letting go my emotional attachments, I can presence myself in the totality of the now. Moving ever inward now, I next visualize the color yellow. Yellow is the color of the mind. I still and quiet my mind. Should there be any thoughts there, I just notice them. It's okay. Maybe I send them away in a cloud. Put them on the back of a bird. It doesn't matter. However I want to get rid of them. Maybe I direct them all to the center of my head till they all come together as one, become as a glass of water. A drop in the water becomes the whole glass of water, and there is nothing to hear, but it is all there. This will calm and quiet my mind. I feel a certain peace coming over my body. As I visualize the most brilliant and beautiful yellow, like the sun itself, and allow my mind to be completely quiet. And now as I have left my three outer bodies behind, I open the door to the higher spiritual state and visualize the color green. Green is the color of peace. Green, like all the grass that surrounds us, the leaves on the trees. Green is the color of peace. I feel peace welling up deep inside me now. The warmth of peace generates throughout my body. I see myself communicating in a peaceful manner. And as I do this, I notice those people begin to communicate in a peaceful manner, and then groups of people, and then little villages and towns and cities, all communicating in this beautiful, peaceful way. And those cities to more cities, and those cities to states, and those states to other states, and those countries to other countries. All beginning with the peace in my own heart right now. Green. Green is the color of peace. Whenever I wish to become peaceful, loving, and kind, I simply visualize this most brilliant and beautiful green color. Moving ever inward now, I next visualize the color blue. Blue is the color of love. Blue like the sky that surrounds us. Blue is the outward centrifugal force. It is the action that actually occurs once the wisdom and the knowledge is listened to. We have the information, and love is the action upon that information, that knowing. Love is the outward centrifugal force. It is the energy in action. Love truly does make the world go round. Moving ever now towards the center of my being, I next visualize the color purple. Purple is the color of aspiration. I go beyond thinking. I transcend all thought. I simply just know. I know that soon I shall be at the center of my very being, the holiest of holy places, the place where all knowledge is known to me. I don't guess or say maybe. I know. I even know that I know all things. And now I move into this most brilliant and beautiful violet. I am now centering myself. I am at the center of my being. I am home. The totality of the now. Peace. Peace, peace. I am in the center of all knowledge. I need only be quiet and allow Spirit to take me wherever Spirit directs in these next few moments of silence. Peace. 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 I let any sounds or noises bring me deeper as it is just energy. And it is perfect in this moment.
Thank you.
Peace. Soon I know I must come back to the everyday world. I allow myself these next few moments, as that is all it will take for me to complete my journey. And to begin my journey back, I begin by visualizing the colors of the rainbow in reverse sequence, starting with violet, moving upwards and outwards to purple, upwards and outwards still to blue, color of love, upwards and outwards to green, yellow, orange, and red. I open my eyes. I'm enthused. I'm enlightened. I am enriched with the knowledge deep within. I just am. Begin talking about what I call a definitive moment, a moment that aligns your soul mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, that in one moment you are being one way, and in that next moment you are a completely different paradigm, that you are doing something completely different than you normally would, and it takes hold for the rest of your life. I've mentioned that in riding a bicycle, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, you have to be completely engaged for it to happen. And once you are, you might notice that you've never forgotten how to ride a bike. So look inside now and see what definitive moments you've created for yourself. It could have been a moment that created healing. You could be seeing the moment that created pain. But it was a definitive moment. Who would like to share one? I'll just give you a few moments here to wrap your head around some things.
I have a couple that are coming to mind. This is Mari.
Okay.
One that I am right at the beginning edge of, and one that, so I'm going to speak just briefly to the one that I made a year ago, after the ending of a relationship where I made a really clear no more settling in relationship. And have had this year of, you know, not dating anybody actually, and just feeling like cleaning up, cutting off, if you will, the places of not clarity and messiness in me, and I've just been reflecting lately knowing it was a year ago that I made that decision, and also having the sense that a relationship is coming toward me. I have no idea time-wise. I just have this strong sense of something going to happen in the near future, however long that may be. So that felt like a real, like things have changed in me since making that particular decision based on another relationship ending in the same old way.
Very nice.
And the one that I just... Did you want... Are you going to say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and the one that I just recently made, as you know, Greg, I just came back from... you all know that I came back, but I'm just back from a few-week trip, and in that I just got really clear how much love flows between my 18-year-old son and I when I'm away, and when we're together, there's just this, we can get into arguments easily, and I just made a no more arguing with my son commitment to myself coming back. And, you know, yesterday, my first day back, it wasn't long ago, there was this thing that was there, and I definitely did not engage in the same way, but coming on this call with you, it was like, where did I want your attention was on that, you know, and we got back, and, you know, one of the things that's great about them being, you know, being offspring is that, or just, you know, family is that we can get right back into harmony and love with each other. And I notice, you know, I just notice that at times I have this thought, anyway, I just would love your attention and anything you have to say around this particular choice of mine.
You have, I'm hearing like an underlying question.
Mm-hmm.
So you haven't quite asked yet. Do you know what it is?
Well, there's a way in which it's somewhat, I have a bit of a, this is an impossible task that I'm setting for myself. and it's not.
If you say so. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, at the beginning journey of this, there's a way in which, you know, like I go in all gung-ho and like it didn't take me long to just go, I'll get hooked and, you know, just go, grr. And so that it's, you know, right. So I guess the question would be, how can this not be an impossible task?
Okay. So I want you to be real specific in your question. Like, instead of how can this or it not be an impossible task,
mm-hmm.
how can, what is it that is the impossible task? What is it?
Mm.
Can you identify it?
Mm-hmm. I don't quite have words yet, so just give me a minute.
Sure.
It feels like it's around not getting hooked, not like I can be calm and then all of a sudden something gets said or said in a certain way and then I just can kind of go off and running. So there's a way, like how can that just be puffs of air that are coming out his mouth that I'm not reacting to?
Okay. So back to a real intense basic. And it's, of course, that we actually, our ego thinks, not our ego, the part of us that's good, and the ego that is our I am presence, but it is more, I'll say it, is our personality, thinks that everything is about us. So if somebody came up to me and said, Greg, you idiot, why did you do that? What's wrong with you? I can honestly look at them and say, well, there's nothing wrong with me. What are you talking about? You know, do you see, I can get hooked on, if I'm hooked on the thing that I grew up and something was wrong with me and I believe that, and somebody says, what is wrong with you? That is what the hook is that brings me back.
Mm-hmm.
So if I stay within myself, for example, watch, you know, this is that technique I've talked to you all about. You look into their third eye, but pay attention to your own body. And realize that if they're saying something derogatory, if somebody's coming at you belligerently, if somebody's disagreeing or seemingly out of alignment with what it is that your agreement is, it is because they're out of alignment, not you.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, you could have completely obliterated one of your agreements and forgotten about it, and that's what set them off. Say, gosh, you know, you're really set off about this. Just notice it. Is it something that, have I violated an agreement? And they may tell you something that you might be surprised to hear. You see, this is a process called discovery rather than reaction or even response. To discover what's going on first. Find out what it is. See, even as you're describing it calmly, there's no definition for what it is. So how in the world would you ever be able to deal with it? It. Okay? Rather than saying, I see I'm hooked. I just took my energy. Now, if my issue was trust, I would put my trust over to that person, what they're saying. And when they violated the trust, oh my gosh, then I've got to react or respond or defend or justify. But if I keep that energy inside me and say, I trust myself about them, I trust that they will crash and burn before we get to the real issue, or I trust that our roller coasters are, our communication's usually a bit of a roller coaster, then I might say, what have I got to learn here? See, once you focus on the other person, you've already almost, in a sense, lost the game. You focus on yourself. What is happening? What is meaning? What does this mean to me?
Yes.
What is this calling me to be? What's going on? Who am I being called to be in this moment? If you're truly at a loss, this is where centering comes in brilliantly. You literally picture a rainbow, see yourself centered, feel it, take yourself to that place instantly. You'll be able to do it with practice. It's really easy once you practice. And you say, what is it that I'm experiencing right now? Notice I'm not saying, what is it that I think about what they're saying? Do you hear the difference?
Mm-hmm.
What am I experiencing right now? Oh, he said the word. And you've probably all heard me sometimes. Somebody will say, like, my process, I forgive myself, I love myself. And right away when you say it, I can tell if it's easier for you to forgive yourself or if it's easier for you to love yourself, because I'll hear, not with my ears, I'll hear with every soul, every cell of my body, the energy charge on a specific word in any given sentence. And that gives you a clue where to go. You see how important it is to pay attention to yourself. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Now, if you're paying attention to yourself, it's much more difficult to get hooked on something because you're doing this internally. You say, I see. They said, well, see, if your issue was respect, if I say I'm going to meet you at 10 o'clock and I don't show up till 10:15, he doesn't respect me. But respect is your issue.
Yeah.
if your issue, you know, was trust, you say, oh, I can't trust them to come on time. You see, it's your issue, not theirs.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I got it. That's very
okay.
Yeah. Wow. So, okay.
Sure. So you're framing what he's doing in your own, you're hooking yourself. They're not hooking you.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
Get it? Okay.
Yes.
Like my granddaughter says, Papa, you get it? I say, got it. She says, good.
Good.
Get it, got it, good.
Great. Thank you. Yeah.
Sure.
All right. And you mentioned too earlier, just a little bit, like no more settling. I really like this. Why don't you share a little bit more about that? Instead of saying no more settling, what are you doing?
I'm looking for a partner where I have that magical feel instead of just being with someone because they like me or just because, you know, like there's a bigger, sparkly, magical quality that it feels like I'm looking for. Let me
reframe that if I could.
Please.
Sure. It's, I no longer need any, I no longer am alone, nor need room or need approval.
Yeah.
I approve of myself.
Mm-hmm.
That sound close?
Yes.
And as I approve of myself, it's kind of like, hey, you want some of this, honey? It's over here.
Yes, right. And if not, I'll enjoy it. Exactly. That's really what it's about. It's like not needing to be with someone. It's not even that I needed to be before, but there's just something different. I appreciate the word approval because, there's nothing wrong and that I'm not dating anybody. And if I'm going to be with someone, I really want to use my creative, juicy energy for creating something special.
Brilliant. And that, you see, don't just notice. So even now, if you had communicated that in the beginning, then you know that it's not any longer running you. So by saying no more settling, that's where your focus is. But you say, I'm looking for the juice now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
it
exactly.
has to be mutual. You know, I'm just not going to settle for the short-term thing. Which, see, back to this idea, when we experience something mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, we're using 20 senses. Because, you see, we've got 5 senses and we've got the fourfold nature of man. And this creates a fulfilling moment. Yeah? Something that you are completely okay with. Whether it goes someplace or not, you are completely fulfilled in that moment. That makes sense?
Yeah, the only thing, am I supposed to know, am I a bad student, or am I supposed to know about the fourfold thing of man, or is that something that I...
You will. You're listening soon. But that basically, it's mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual.
Yes.
Yeah, you can hear me physically with your ears. You can hear me emotionally. It brings up something inside you. You can hear me spiritually. We have a deep connection, you see.
Yes.
And so there's with each of the senses you have, you've got times 5.
Mm-hmm.
You have 5 senses.
Gotcha.
And this is why it's so important when you're making particularly life-changing or definitive moments in your life, why it's important to make sure you're completely aligned. It's kind of like when we're younger and our hormones are running and we have never one night stand and then we kind of feel empty. We need more. We'll go look for another one. You see?
No, I don't. I've heard. No, go ahead.
Yeah, me too. I've heard about it. But you understand. But when you know the moment's right, and here's a funny thing with human beings, you know, and then maybe a year or two down the road, or maybe the next day, it isn't right anymore.
Yeah.
No, it's not fulfilling. It's not anything. It's just, oh, that was so wonderful. But you know what? Here's my goal. Here's where I want to be. Here's what I'm looking for. And say, I see now, like a salesman, you've got, you know, 25 no's, and you get your 26th yes, and it's the perfect one.
Mm.
But you don't know that until you're out there. So it's not that you're doing something right or wrong or good or bad. It's just you're following what it is that your inner guidance is telling you to do. And your inner guidance needs to communicate that information to your personality. If it doesn't, your personality will just take off and, you know, muck you up. Take one of those attributes, one of those natures of man, and run with it. You see, and then the other three are not participating. So that's what I would call out of alignment.
Mm-hmm.
So well,
I know those four parts. I just had never heard framed in the natures of man. So that's very cool.
Yes, yes. Well, we'll talk about the seven levels of consciousness a little later, too. You'll enjoy that one, too. You know, it's amazing what we'll pick. I remember I was working with a woman in New York, and she had lupus. And after about four sessions, she didn't come back. I thought, what happened, you know? And I saw her in the grocery store a few weeks later, you know. I said, well, how are you doing? She said, wonderful. I said, well, you never came back, you know, to finish up, you know, what we started. She said, oh, I was going into remission. It was wonderful. And she said, so I couldn't come anymore. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I get a payment from the government, you know, as long as I'm ill, and that's my Mercedes payment.
Oh, my.
So she'd rather die and have a Mercedes, you know, she can be well. Now, I doubt that she really understood what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
She's literally saying, if I might reframe that, I'm going to commit suicide over this car.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when you really hear what's being said, then you can really respond to what it is that you want to respond to. Not necessarily what's been said. Like, she didn't tell me I'm committed suicide, but that's what she said. Like Veronica said to me earlier, she said, I read between the lines, young man. She says, okay. She reads between the lines of my newsletter. She sees she's tapping in, you know.
Yeah.
And it's lovely. It's like, can you imagine if everybody knew everybody's thoughts? Every single thought you could ever have, everybody just knew it.
It'd be noisy in my own head.
I don't think it'd be much different than it is.
No, I mean, if I heard everybody else's, I can't even imagine trying to, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We are hearing everybody else's. We're just not conscious of it.
Mm-hmm.
I am the consciousness of you that is. We're not separate. We're this one single body.
Mm.
Do you understand? See, these are things to contemplate. Because then we wouldn't be cruel to each other. We wouldn't, we wouldn't be hitting each other and triggering each other and things like that. Other than for the reason of helping you to fully evolve into who it is that you need to be or want to be.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, it's not right or wrong or good or bad. They're not mean or ugly or anything else. They are just what you guys signed up for. And you say, bless your heart for saying that to me. You know, I'll take it into consideration, you know. I think you're full of it in the moment, but I will consider that given. Here's how I would say it differently. I thought that everyone that came into my sphere of influence, if I heard a cry for help, I jumped in. I didn't ask permission. I didn't, you know, do any formality. I just went bang. And let me tell you, there were a few times you could have heard a pin drop in China, you know. I could quiet a room down or a dinner engagement really quick. Because I thought, you know, if I heard somebody who was in trouble, I heard their pain, they're playing at it awful and complaining about life, that I could do something to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, oftentimes people didn't get that right away, but later I'd see them years later and say, oh, well, I remember one particular thing. The fellow walked up. I just met them. Another couple joined us, and there were about five or six couples. And he started playing it off, and I said, "Gee," I said something. I don't know what it is now. And he got up the table and left. And I hadn't even met half the people at the table yet, you know. And I saw them a year later, and his wife came over and said, "I said, gee, you know, I'm so sorry. I didn't know who his name was. I didn't know anything. I never got a chance to talk back with him." And, you know, clear the slate. She goes, Greg, she goes, that was the best thing that ever happened to him. He used his anger to keep everybody out of his life, including me. And that day changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Be outrageously you. And now I've learned, you know, okay, ask permissions. Okay, fine. Okay, I might lace what I'm doing right into asking, but we'll see. You know, I care enough about you to be honest.
Yep.
You see? Most people say, oh, I lie to you not to hurt your feelings. That is a total ego trip.
Uh-huh.
That's a total ego trip, as though you could hurt my feelings. You can't do it. Try as you might, you can't. You could say anything you want to me. I've been written up in newspapers called the Antichrist. You can't do worse. I could take it as, oh my gosh, I better get out of town, go start somewhere else, and be the charlatan that they really think I am. Or I could say, I feel so bad, they're in so much pain that they had to make up a whole story just to keep food on their table. Or I could say, sure, it doesn't matter. The people that know me, know me. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Who else has anything to share? Thank you very, very much, Maury. I really appreciate your coming up front with that.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Brilliant. I'll have to make a Veronica one, and it's Veronica or Veronique.
I mean, I've had many, 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 many definitive moments. I remember them clearly, all of them, from when
wow.
I was a very young child. But they were, I didn't know that they were definitive moments, obviously. And it's through the work that we've done, that I've done with you, that I'm able to see that they were an opportunity for healing. It's reframing those experiences because they are all responsible, those experiences, for what I am now. Because they all taught me how not to be. All those definitive moments, they were from my parents through to my first marriage. So it was mainly teaching me everything that I didn't want to be or that I didn't want in my life. Transforming into what I have now, which I feel very blessed.
Do you see the power that you had?
I'm starting to see that now, yes.
Yeah. I mean, even you could say, oh, gosh. Let's see. I'm trying to think of a good one here. A definitive moment would be, I could say to you, Veronica, I'm going to kill you. Now, that's going to get your attention of all four levels, yeah?
Yes.
And that would be a definitive moment to where whenever you saw me, you might walk the other way. It would alter your behavior in some way. Yeah? Or hopefully you don't have a shotgun and doesn't alter it that way. So I could still, you know, go on to torment other people. But do you understand how much power is in that? When you say to somebody, I'm just going to love you unconditionally, the power in that.
That's the thing, because I grew up with a lot of anger and criticism in my life, and it just always confused me. I didn't understand why it had to be so, and I can remember clearly in my mind, even as a young girl, thinking to myself, I'm not going to be like that. I don't want to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see the point of being like that. And that stayed with me through a good part of my life. It still does, but now I don't have to think about it because I've internalized that so much that
becomes automatic now, yeah?
It is, yeah.
This is, so seeing what you don't want is equally as powerful as seeing what you do.
Well, I don't think that, well, I think that we really don't know what we want until we've experienced what we don't want on many levels, because that's the polarity, isn't it? Everything has two parts.
Yes.
So it's either, you don't know, it's like you don't know what you have until you don't have it. I mean, that's the other side of the story. It's always, you know, it's nice to go on holidays, but it's even more beautiful to come home.
Yeah, there's a beautiful song like that, yeah. Don't it always come to pass? You don't always know till you've got till it's gone.
Yeah, exactly. And I experience that with my health, and it's my mantra now. I've changed my illness, I'll reframe that. The energies that I've experienced recently,
brilliant.
Over the last 18 months, which all led me to you, have clearly been another definitive moment in how I see life, but also how I see my clients in my practice. It's how I see life, in that you don't know what good health is until you don't have it.
Yeah.
So it's around reframing and re-educating, not just myself, but because I thought I was doing all the right things for my health, but there were many, many things that I'd missed.
Yes.
And as a consequence, I see it differently now when I'm sitting in front of my clients too, and I can. It's been quite amazing, and I see that's been very, very definitive. In life-changing as well.
What if you could just simply reverse the process and you say, I'm going to do this and see what I do want so that I know what I don't, instead of I can do what I don't want so that I have to find what I do?
Yeah, I'm smack bang in the middle of that now. Really focusing and framing on what I do want.
Yeah, I was watching that. Did you see that Tony Robbins clip I sent out?
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay, well, there's one part of it, and he goes, "Just be dyslexic."
Because you wanted, you sort of said, try and look at it with your partner. So I was waiting for an opportunity for us to sit and together.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, it's about the timing.
Okay.
And also, I remember a story that you shared many years ago about a while ago that you shared about when you were listening to someone, and somebody came in, there was a big group of people, and someone came in and created a whole lot of mayhem, and fellow that was speaking, I can't remember the details, but all he did was imagine love, coming from this fellow that created the upset.
Mm-hmm.
So since I'm trying to create and focus on my husband being open to listening and receiving that information, rather than me willing it upon him to do so.
Yes. Just being it, yeah?
Yes.
See, I remember when I was, my father called and said, come and do your voodoo, your mom had biopsy, she's got cancer, and so I jump on the plane, and the whole way there I'm thinking, I've got to save her life. And then about halfway through the flight, I thought, well, that's an ego trip. What if she doesn't want to be saved? Mm. I don't even know yet. Maybe she wants to go.
Mm.
You see, it's not up to me. So I need to be at peace with what I am doing rather than what I think they want.
Yes.
See, hear the distinction, yeah?
Yes.
And so expecting. See, having that expectancy is a little bit dangerous. Now, expectancy is very powerful because we used to play this game where we would send two people out of the room and we'd give them both a dime and a nickel. And we would all intend for them to bring back the dime and leave the nickel outside, you know. And boy, we were like 98%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we wanted them to bring back the dime, they brought it. And we wanted them to bring back the nickel, they brought it. We wanted to bring both, they brought them. Like 98%. So expectancy is wonderful. But you see, I heard in the conversation, it's like we want to be careful not to set a trap. Mm. Okay? To say, I did this and he should have noticed. Mm. That's a trap. So you've just accomplished the opposite of what you're setting out to do.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than say, I'll set a trap for myself. And when I normally do X, Y, Z, instead I am going to do kissy, kissy, whatever it is. Okay. But it's like you're going to change what you do.
Yes.
And when you change, this is the universal joke, I've mentioned it many times, my, how you've changed since I've changed.
Yes.
Okay. But without, now you can have an expectancy of happiness and joy because you will be living what it is then, as you have identified it, then you will be living it. That's why I was talking with Moy earlier, saying identify the it. You see, it's very important. We take the most important part and put it away. Like we don't even know what it is. Mm. So like if I said I trusted you, you say, oh, what's trust? You know, well, it's. That's what it is. It's trust. That's it. Well, no, that's not it. Trust means if I say meet me at 10 in my vocabulary, you meet me at 10. But that for you could be respect. I say, well, if I don't meet you at 10, you say, I disrespected you. Mm. You see, it's all about you. So tell everyone else to get over it. You see, you take care of you. You take full 100% responsibility for yourself. Mm. And they will do what they do.
Yes.
Yeah? So if you're taking 100% responsibility to create a harmonious, communicative, blissful, sensuous marriage or interaction, then it will begin to occur. Mm-hmm. Now, you know that you know the acronym "turn the other cheek."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's just imagine. So you've been playing this game called "I slap you, then you slap me, then I slap you, then you slap me." Mm-hmm. Then I decide, wait a minute, I want a harmonious, blissful, a communicative relationship, and so you don't slap. And they go, oh, she didn't slap. Pow, slaps you again. And you don't slap still, because you're determined now to have what it is that you want. And then they go, pop, and they hit you again, but kind of less force, because they're going, yeah, something different here. And then the next time they come up to you, they raise their hand, but they don't do it. And then it just disappears. There's no more power in it. You see? So be cautious. I really hear what you're saying. It sounds like you're on a great track. You said, I'm going to have this expectancy. Do not diminish that. But don't place your expectancy on, you ever see, there's all those, you know, fantasy worlds when and the guy says, the genie says, you have three wishes. So, make her love me. That's the one thing I can't do. Because it involves somebody else. You see? All I can do is say, make me lovable. Well, maybe that would work. Give me that love potion number 9, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that there's that fine line, and I'm working it out.
Brilliant. And just have fun with it.
Yes.
You know, it's like really have fun with it. Now, remember a long time ago, I think we talked about a racket. Does everybody kind of know what that is? A racket. And that's like I make up something about you. Like one day you don't meet me in time, so I call you untrustworthy. Okay? And then the next time I say do something and you don't even, you know, respond. And I go, you're uncommunicative. So now you're untrustworthy and uncommunicative. Now everything that you do or say goes through that, you know, those colored glasses. Yeah? And so no matter what you do or say, and you probably heard, you know, men say this, I'm darned if I do and darned if I don't. So they don't do anything. Okay. So just know that you set it up. Okay. Yeah. All right. And once you realize and acknowledge that you set it up, you can change it. Here's how you do it. You go up to me and say, honey or her, and you say, look, I've been holding you as untrustworthy and uncommunicative. I just want you to listen for a minute. You don't need to respond at all. I want you to know I was holding you that way. And I want you to know I have had a change of heart. I don't really think that's you. I kind of just made it up. And from now on, I'm holding you as communicative and loving. And that's all. And I've just changed my perspectives. And you have no responsibility in my change of heart. And thank you for listening. And I love you, or whatever's true for you. It's the most powerful thing. You won't believe it. Because you watch a child. If you keep calling your child, oh my God, my kid's crazy, my kid's crazy, my kid's crazy, they will do crazy things because they want you to be right, not because they dislike you.
It was something that I learned when I went through that very difficult time with my youngest son. And I learned, and I still am learning, it's not automatic because we do get triggered. But when I find that the conversation gets into one of disharmony or argument or whatever, and it doesn't matter whether it's, I'm surrounded by men, so my sons and my husband and just about everybody I interact with, they're all male. So one of the things that I've learned to do is to actually communicate, when this disharmony is starting to happen, in order for me to be able to deal with that, because sometimes I don't handle anger and aggression really well, particularly when it's projected at me, I start to communicate to the essence of who they are rather than to their behaviour. Because I can see that as something I can see so clearly. I can actually see in a person, not just my son, but in any person, I can see the essence of that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see the intent and the beauty in their heart. And that everything else is just...
Yeah, so play it out like you say, ah, I heard what you just said, but I get the feeling that you really are telling me.
Well, or something like to the effect of, I'm hearing the words you're using, but I think, you know, that really what you're upset about is something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they like it, sometimes they don't. But in any case, I just don't want to buy into the argument because it's not really what the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I find I'm also able to respond from a more loving place rather than from, because it's something you've been teaching me, something I've been learning with our program, is to speak from my heart to their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you said, you know, turn the other cheek. That's how I try to do that. It's how I don't... Now, I'm not always successful.
Mm-hmm. In the moment, yeah.
Yeah, it depends, you know, mm-hmm. on how tired I am and what else is going on for me too. And
mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, I can usually manage to diffuse a situation simply by... By changing the conversation and where I appreciate them or I support them or say to them things like, I can sense through what you're saying that you're really upset about something. You know, just know that I'm on your side. I'm here to help you. What is the real issue? And generally, you know, that things can unravel. Sometimes, because they're men, they'll just turn around and say, I don't know. But they walk away from it because they can't argue. You know, they it's sort of...
Yeah, let me reframe just quickly because we're starting to run out of time a little bit here, and I want to hear a little bit from Veronica if she would like to. The part that kind of stuck with me is to say, depending on where I am, and sometimes I've missed. And those are the times to seize. That's the time to say, wow, I just said this. I just did this. Let me reframe. Let me say, do what you just did just now. Well, let me reframe that. Hmm. You know, let me state what it is that I really mean here. Let's not let this ragged edge go flying off into the sunset, only to slap you a little later, which you know it will, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, sooner or later, you know, if you're, it's an old cowboy saying, you know, if you're pissing in the wind, sooner or later you're going to get wet.
pretty sure they've all done that already.
Yeah. And so, being, there's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad. There is just what is. You say, this is what happened. I'm going to change it now. There's no success or failure. There's no right or wrong. There's just results. So if you did something, you didn't get the result you want, state it. Say, geez, you know, I said this completely off the hook. It was laced with my own stuff. Let me start over again. How would that work? You see, let me just start over again. Let's back up a few steps here. And I've done this, you know, especially with my children. They go, you still got the tone, Dad. Okay. Start over again. You know, that tone that is more like telling them rather than asking. And that tone, you know the one. Yeah, it's brilliant. Thank you so very, very much for sharing that. That's absolutely brilliant. We are coming to some awarenesses, and that's where healing occurs. And when we can act upon those awarenesses in the moment, it may take, you know, if you've been doing something for 20 years or 30 years or since you've been born, don't knock yourself in the butt for it taking you a few months to take care of it. You know, cut yourself a little slack. And it may be there's one such a deep wound there that it happens like every third Wednesday, you know, and you just handle it every third Wednesday. Say, oh, that one popped up again. I thought I had that dealt with. Well, let me start over again. Don't let anything get in your way of your desired result, which might be that beautiful, communicative, you know, nourishing, sensuous relationship. See? You just go back, put your eye back on the ball there, and then say, wait a minute, let me start over. That just didn't work at all. very good. Veronica, do you have something you'd like to share at all?
I feel very, very content today.
Brilliant. Okay. All right, then. I just am, I'm so pleased the openings that are occurring here and the way that we're handling our lives, the vitality, particularly Veronica, and your voice. I mean, when we first started talking, wow. It was a chore to even speak. And the power that's emanating from you now, it's just brilliant. And our abilities, all of our abilities to really look inside and to make the changes. It's not just noticing and then go have a cup of coffee and play gossip with the girls or the boys, you know, or drink beer. It's like, no, put it into action. And then every time that you do that, it becomes more and more powerful inside you. And then all of those things that were adverse to that new finding just fall away naturally. You don't even have to worry about dealing with them. As a matter of fact, as soon as they come up, you just make the shift. Think of one of the other people on the call. Even send them a text without any expectation of getting anything back. What will happen is that the energy of that connection will be enough to get you through. So have a beautiful and incredibly wonderful couple of weeks here until I talk to some of you. I'll be talking to you some of those long before that, but for those of you still on the call here, and that's ongoing, as long as we need it, as long as I'm doing it, past our original agreement, I will always do that first 3 months as I committed, but it's like it's forever now. Develop that community. Take what we're learning here and take it to the people that you love. Take it to the people that you don't think you love. Take it to the people that are everywhere in your life. Reach out. As I mentioned when I first got on the call here, life can change in a heartbeat. And you can have a definitive moment. I know that my experience this morning has changed my life dramatically. I don't know all of the things that are going to come of it yet, but I do know that I haven't properly grieved over that situation. I know that I numbed to it. And my first tear was shed when the kids came back from school and I had to tell them. But that was more, I was more concerned for them. And so I know that this is something that has, like, I've stored in the back shelf of my consciousness to say, okay, why now? What is the message here? What is the use? Why did this one incredibly beautiful, wonderful creature, why did they do this for me? So ask yourself empowering questions like that. Wait for the answer and act upon it. So with so much love in my heart, I just feel so blessed to be talking with you tonight. Have a beautiful and wonderful week.
You too, Gregory.
Thank you, Greg. You too.
Okay, God bless.